Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 373, stanzas 2 through 5. O praise ye the Lord for his goodness. 'Tis pleasant his praises to sing, his people, his chosen and precious. Your praises with gratitude bring. 2 through 5 of 373.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the prophecy according to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, Isaiah 45. But first, we'll make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, and that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, and the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord, and with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, and that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret. In a dark place of the earth I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, who dost declare unto us and unto the ends of the earth that thou art God, and that there is none else, but thou knowest the workings of the prince of darkness here upon the earth, wherein we dwell with our dear children, and all that does come against thy holy word and truth. And thou knowest Also that our own hearts are privy to such wickedness and to such unbelief. Oh, that thou may grant that life that believes in thee unto each and every one of us, that we would not first meet thee when thou dost return upon the clouds of heaven, or when we must perish from this world. Oh, that thou may show thyself, that thou may reveal thyself, and that thou art God, that we have also to meet thee, that it may become to each and every one of us the reality of our life. And oh, do cause our hearts also not only to know, but also to love thee. Oh, that our hearts may go out unto thee, and with holy longings and desires. Oh, for thou dost call, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. For I am God, and there is none else. Oh, thou dost say that thou hast never said in vain for the house of Jacob to seek thee. But thou knowest how often that it is feared that it shall one day be in vain by those who have long bent their knees, or who have come their whole life to thy house of prayer, Sabbath day after Sabbath day, in whom there can be so much discouragement. But could it please thee to open the blind eyes? Oh, that a heartfelt desire may be planted in the souls of each and every one, and that we may be indeed brought unto a standstill in our life, but that we may be brought also to the end of all of our own strength, all of our own ability, all of our own righteousness, and that we may find that salvation in none other, but in that only name given among men under the heavens, whereby we must be saved. Wilt thou remember us when we together come Sabbath by Sabbath to thy house of prayer? Oh, that thy Spirit may dwell amongst us as one that serveth. Look upon all in the needs and in the cares which can so weigh us down in this life. There can be also a distraction, but that can also be used as a means to bring us in the right place before thee. For even a Manasseh of old, thou didst bring into the prison, and thou didst deliver him therefrom, in order that he may then know that the Lord, he is the God. Oh, then thou didst bring him thereby to a true repentance. Oh, that thou may remember then each and every one of us also, for the callings in our life are so very many. And the reality of our life, its shortness, that it is transitory, and that we go each one unto the grave and to our long home. Oh, then it is not bound upon our hearts, except that thou dost come thyself to do it. O Lord, then thou wilt thou use all the callings and the warnings that do come to us day by day, each one in our own place in this world. Do look upon those that are afflicted and sick, for those callings are also coming unto us and unto our families. O that thou may bind it upon our hearts, that we have sinned against thee, and that we have brought these consequences upon ourselves in this world, that we have to give an account of all that we have done, whether it be good or evil. And wilt thou supply for us in the needs when there is sickness, whether in the mind or in the body, the weaknesses. Oh, that thou may look upon those that have become old and are now infirm and who feel that the ends of life that are come upon them and that they have soon to leave everything in this world behind for which they have labored all their life. But oh, that it may not be the only labor of their life. But that they may labor to enter in to that kingdom that cannot be entered except by a new birth. Lord, that they may be given then to strive, though the time be short, and that thou may remember then in all the fears and the cares and the concerns of old age, those also that are in the nursing home, thou knowest their place in this day. Supply for all those that have special needs in this life. Strengthen us as parents. Give wisdom, discretion, faithfulness, diligence. And teach us how to do that labor that is laid upon our shoulders by thee. And look thou upon our children and our youth. Be with them in school day by day. Strengthen our teachers. Oh, give them that grace that they also cannot miss. When they are standing before our children, oh, that something also may go forth from them of the fear of the Lord, and that it may be evident also in the midst of our school. And that our parents also and may have that fear dwelling in our hearts. Look upon our youth also when they go to secular institutions in this world, in the universities and the colleges. All thou knowest everything and that does come against thee and thy truth. Oh, that thou may grant that grace in their heart in the days of their youth that may love thee. And that may never depart from thy truth and from thy word. That thou would put away the devices of the prince of darkness. And that thou may give that our among our children and our youth. There may come the fathers and the mothers in grace in the midst of the congregation in the years to come. Look upon all those that bring thy word. All those that are in the offices within thy church, oh, give a supply thou from above in all our own needs, for we are of yesterday and know nothing. Lord, that thou may look upon our rulers, plant the fear of thy name in their hearts, and when the footsteps of thy dear son may also be heard coming, already in our days with our children. Oh, that thou may give us to hasten for the sake of our life. For there shall be great tribulation. And then we can see it coming all about us. When the enemy does gather against thy truth and against thy church and against thee. Oh, then it shall be that the blood shall run in the streets. And thou knowest everything that shall be. Lord, that thou may give us true conversion, that it may not be sufficient for us to be baptized and to have made confession, but that our hearts may need that truly converted unto thee. Oh, give us then to strive for that crown that is laid up for those who love thee. Lord, look upon us, all of us together. Forgive and take away our many, many sins. And wilt thou strengthen us in this afternoon hour to bring and to hear thy word. Oh, be thou in the midst of us as one that serveth. And wilt thou open thy holy word in the speaking and in the listening. Drive out the buyers and the sellers and forgive all that is amiss. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 287, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. To God ascribe glory and wisdom and might. And let God and his creatures forever delight. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 287, all stanzas. Congregation, when Paul was in Athens, and then he saw an altar that was to the unknown God. The Athenians did not know who that the true God was. That was not, children, the only altar that there was there. No, there were very, very many altars. And why so very many altars? Because those Athenians thought that there were many, many gods. And then they had one altar that was to the unknown God. Why? Because they thought that maybe that we have missed one of those many gods. Oh, how great are the consequences of our fall. That man, he has fallen into such an ignorance and a superstition, an ignorance of God, an ignorance of who that he is, and not only so, but no desire for him, and no love for him. And now except that we had the revelation of God, except that we had the word of God, then we would to this day still remain in that ignorance. And therefore the apostle, he says, him therefore, whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Oh, the apostle Paul, he may declare it there in Athens, who that true God is. Why? Because he may know who that true God is. And that is that God who does reveal himself in his holy scriptures. And that is now the instruction that you and I also may receive. And we may receive it by the hand also of our forefathers, which we wish to do in this afternoon, further in Lord's Day 8. Lord's Day 8, questions 24 and 25. Question 24, how are these articles divided? Answer, into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second, of God the Son and our redemption. And the third, of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Question 25. Since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one, only, true, and eternal God. So far, our Lord's Day, the fundamental doctrine of the Holy Trinity. First, this doctrine is the basis of the division of our 12 articles. Second, this doctrine assumes the existence of God. And third, this doctrine acknowledges one God in three persons. The fundamental doctrine of the Holy Trinity. First, this doctrine is the basis of the division of our 12 articles. Second, this doctrine assumes the existence of God. And third, this doctrine acknowledges one God in three persons. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel. That was the last question of Lord's Day 7. And that question we have considered in its substance in the weeks that have gone by, when we have commemorated the Holy Supper of the Lord. Then it is not necessary to salvation that a person believe that he is one of God's children. Now, this belongs to the assurance of faith. This is for the comfort of the soul, but it is not necessary for the safety of the soul. But it is necessary to believe, as our fathers say, all things promised us in the gospel. Why? Because there is the substance which is saving to the soul. And that substance that is received by faith, thus we read, it has to do with a promise. All things promised us in the gospel. And thus it is a church, we read, that is saved by hope. Thus, what are those things that are promised us in the gospel? Then our fathers say, which the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. The 12 articles, they are one of our creeds. What is a creed? A creed is actually a mark of distinction. So a creed that is distinguishing between one thing and another thing. And our creeds, they distinguish what? They distinguish beliefs. Those things that we may believe that are written in that holy word of God as distinguished from those things that others may believe. We have not only the 12 articles, but we have also other creeds. There is also, we can find them in the back of our Psalter, the Nicene Creed. There is the Athanasian Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed. The 12 articles, or the Apostles' Creed, is the most significant of these creeds. Why? In the first place, the 12 articles is a creed that is expressed for the greatest part in the same language as the Holy Scriptures. But the Apostles' Creed, that is also the oldest of all our creeds. The other creeds, they have developed later. And why? Why more than one? Well, that was because of heresy. And it is the shortness of this creed, and that Satan has used to try to bring in error into the church. And so our forefathers, they have fought against such error, and other creeds have come into an existence as an extension, as it were, of the 12 articles of faith. Thus, they are the same in their substance, but they are more extensive and more specific in order that they may come against those doctrines, those heresies that have come up in the church. Thus, we read the Apostles' Creed every Sabbath day, because that is containing in it the sum of what is necessary for us to believe. Thus, it is the sum of the objects of faith. What it is, that a man must believe. Thus, it is not necessary only to have faith, but it is also necessary to believe what is right. It is also necessary to believe what is true. And therefore, the objects of faith, they are so necessary to be explained. Why do we believe the doctrines of our creed? Not because they are written in our creed, but we believe those doctrines because they are written in God's holy word. We do not even have this creed in the same form as we may have it today until about the 4th century. Thus, in the next 14 Lord's days, then we will be devoted to the explanation of those doctrines of the Holy Word of God as they are in the order here of the Apostles' Creed. And that is why our fathers, they first begin by asking, how are these articles divided? And when we will look at our creed, then we will see that the articles of that creed are divided into three main parts. The first article, and that speaks about God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. The second through the seventh article speak about the person and the work of God the Son. And the last five articles, they are speaking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in the application of that truth unto His church. Thus we have in our catechism in the division that we will follow, the Lord willing, in the weeks to come. But where does that division now come from? That division of our creed actually came as a development from that formula of baptism that the Lord Jesus has commanded His disciples when He has commanded them to go out and to make disciples or to disciple the men of this earth. And then we read to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. How many times, children, is a person baptized? Never more than once. That is different than in the Lord's Supper. Why? Because baptism, that is that ordinance by which a person is received into the church. And thus, in an adult baptism, then there must be a profession of that truth that does distinguish us from all the heresy and the error concerning that holy word of God. Thus, we have the first form of the Christian creed was actually in baptism. And those three parts of that creed, they are still found, that those three parts of that baptism formula are still found in our creed. That is the fundamental doctrine that the apostles have taught. How are these articles divided into three parts? First, of God the Father and our creation. Second, of God the Son and our redemption. The third, of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Thus, we read of these three supplementary titles being added here, and of our creation, and of our redemption, and of our sanctification, which also needs an explanation. Because then we must be careful that we do not make a separation in and among the three persons of that Holy Trinity, as if it is only the Father that was concerned in the creation, that it is only the Son that is concerned in the redemption, that it is only the Holy Spirit that is concerned in the sanctification of His church, then we must not think that these individual persons of the Trinity have acted alone in any one of these parts of their official work. Because we can read in the Bible that the creation that is also ascribed to the Son as the eternal Word of God. The redemption of that church, and that is also, the Father is also concerned in that redemption, who did send His Son and His Spirit. Sanctification that is not only ascribed unto the Holy Ghost, but it is the work of the Father to send forth and the Son to intercede for that church. And yet, there is indeed a specific work that is especially ascribed to each of the persons of the divine Trinity. And therefore, there is, as we say, a divine economy in that Holy Trinity, which we hope to see more of later. Our second thought, this doctrine assumes the existence of God. What do we read? Since there is but one divine essence, the Holy Scriptures do not go about to prove the existence of God. The Holy Scriptures is a declaration that He is and who He is. We live in a time then we are no longer permitted to assume even the existence of God. That very existence of God that is doubted, that is challenged by those who are in our highest places of learning in this world, thus especially in our universities, thus our young people, parents, our young people, they are faced with a most direct opposition to that holy word of God as soon as they may leave our own institution of learning and going into the higher institutions in this world. Thus, those universities and those colleges, they are actually such dangerous, dangerous places. And our youth need to be prepared in order that they may go to such dangerous places. That means that they need to be solidly grounded in the truth. They need to be solidly grounded in those arguments, in those reasonings, which can indeed show forth the existence of God. And yet it is not enough. Because with all the human reasoning, we have also a heart that is ready to receive that error that is taught in these places. Man, in his rebellion, denies God. Man fears to meet Him. We do not want to meet Him. And therefore, man is pushing away from himself And that awful thought that we have to stand before Him in the judgment. And not only does He not want to meet Him, but man also does not want to subject himself to Him. And therefore we have the very denial of the very existence even of God Himself. But that existence, that is self-evident, that is evident to each and every one of us, that is evident actually even just from nature itself. It is evident when we open our eyes every morning. It is evident when we only look about us and we see the wise arrangement and the design of the creation. It is evident when we observe the harmonies of the harmony of all of the laws of creation in this world, that it had to be both created and has to be upheld by an intelligent being. What do the scriptures say? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Oh, there is no speech, there is no language where their voice is not heard. The voice of the creation saying unto man, declaring unto man the existence of the Creator. When we will do a little study in mathematics and look at the law of probabilities, then also these laws do show that it is so impossible that all of this that we may see with our eyes should come about only by chance. And when we will look about us, and then we will have also to acknowledge that everything that we see indicates that there is also a purpose, that there had to be an intelligent being that has designed this entire creation with a purpose. Thus we read, by wisdom He made the heavens. He stretched out the earth above the waters. He made great lights, the sun to rule by day, and the moon and the stars to rule by night. Thus, the existence of God that is self-evident, and then we will only open our eyes and look about us. But there is more. Because that existence of God that is evident also from within us. That existence of God is evident also even unto the conscience of each and every one of us. Because each and every one is born with an innate knowledge concerning the existence of God. Because you and I were made to worship. And the inmost being of man does also seek to worship. And therefore there is not a civilization in the history of the world that is completely devoid of some kind of God that is looking to fulfill that desire, that a part of our being that is made to worship Him. Thus our very conscience that does testify His existence. And there is something else in our conscience. And what is it? It is guilt. It is guilt. Guilt in the conscience, even of those who have no knowledge of the true God. Their consciences, they are the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another When they do wrong, their conscience that accuses. When they do right, then their conscience excuses them. And why? Because we are created accountable. And we all know this. We all know this in our very being. We are created as creatures of God. And we feel to be a creature. And when we are a creature, then we know that we have to give an account unto our Creator. And thus we have a sense of right and wrong. Thus we have a sense of good and evil. Thus we have a sense of punishment. Thus we have a sense of a higher being, of the existence of God. We can try to stifle this. Or we can say as Pharaoh, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" But when he came into trouble, then Pharaoh, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord. Entreat the Lord for me." Oh, the speaking of our conscience that is afflicting the minds even of the ungodly. Because the psalmist, he says, there is no peace to the wicked. No, even in the denial of him, there is in the conscience and acknowledgement of him. Oh, the existence of God that is assumed by our fathers, because it is self-evident to us. It is self-evident in the creation. It is self-evident also within us. It is self-evident within our own conscience. And then we may see also in our daily life that everything in this world that is taking place, everything that happens, everything has a cause. Oh, for every effect, there is a cause. There is something that has gone before it. There is something that has designed it, intended it, caused it. And when we will only go back from one step to the other in the search for causes, and then it has to lead us, congregation, to one ultimate cause. It has to lead us back to one final cause of everything. And what shall we say of the prediction of future events, when we may read in that holy word of God, and when we may know in our own conscience that we know not what a day may bring forth, and yet we may see how that there were men in this world who have spoken long before of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Oh, then we may see and believe that God exists. All this self-evident. Everything in our whole being, everything in our world testifying of the existence of God. And yet man attempts to deny it. Is that only in the world? And is that only among the men of the world? Congregation, how many times has it not come up in our own evil, our own wicked hearts? Sometimes when you look about us and you see that justice is overthrown in the world, oh, it is one thing, and it is easy to believe there is a God when he comes with his judgments against the Sodom and Gomorrah. But what a temptation when we may read in that word of God that history of Naboth, that history of Naboth, then what is now the temptation that is living in our heart? What did Jeremiah say? He says, "Wherefore doth the wicked prosper?" Asaph, he cannot understand why the Lord would permit such an injustice in the world. All the temptation. Sometimes when there are special hardships, or we have experienced that in our youth, because when we were young, then our parents, they have taken us by the hand and brought us into the funeral home. Is that still happening, congregation? That we take our children by the hand and bring them into the funeral home also, because there are people, they say that that is for adults, but that is not so. When we were young, we were brought there once to the funeral home. And there we saw a man laying in that coffin, 40 years old, handicapped wife, and 5 little children, 4 of them handicapped. And we will never forget the distress that we did see in that place, and what an impression and that this made upon us in our youth. And then we were brought back there to that same place a few years later. And who was it now? There we saw those children, and they were standing around the coffin of their mother. And we were not old enough, maybe, to consciously think it all out. But in those moments, we could not understand it. How is it now possible that such a thing can happen in this world? And then all the temptation of that prince of darkness, when we see all the misery, and when we see all the things that are possible to happen in this world, to actually doubt that God even exists. The late Reverend Hoffman, he has spoken also of a widow who lost her 40-year-old son. And that widow, she says, "If that is now the God to whom I have prayed all these years," she says, "then I quit." And she did. She never came back again. And she did not read the Word of God anymore. The temptations, all the temptations of that prince of darkness, they are so strong. Do you believe there is a God? You say, "Yes, I believe there is a God. And I will always believe there is a God." But be careful, because we have an unbelieving heart. And we also thought to always believe there is a God. But we have told you we have fallen when we were 18 years old. And when we lay there on the ground and thought to be dying, then our thought was, "Now we're going to find out if it is all true. And if God really exists. And whether there really is a hell." And congregation, all our reasonings, they cannot help us in that day. Because we cannot have a religion of reason. It will not stand in the day of judgment. Oh, that true religion that has to be taught, it needs to be received by us by faith. The Apostle Paul, he says, the world by wisdom knew not God. And why not? Because they had not faith. And that faith that needs to be given also concerning that existence of God. And that faith that has God as its special object. And when we are yet unconverted, then actually we do not believe it. Or in that new birth, that life is born. And that faith is born that believes in God, but that also loves Him. And so that Word of God, oh, that is also the special object of faith. Why? Because it is that Word of God that is declaring who that God is. And it is that Word that is received by faith. Oh, how can a man understand all the misery that is taking place in this world unless he will come to the true knowledge of God? Unless he understands his creation, unless he understands the fall, unless he may receive by faith the rightness of the justice of God. But how can a man love congregation? How can a man love such a God without the drawing of that Holy Spirit of the Lord? The wife of Job, she said, curse God and die. Oh, he says, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What did David say? He says, the fool, he has said in his heart, there is no God. But Bunyan, he speaks about that pilgrim, and he is reading in that book. Oh, do you read, congregation, in that book? Because when he was reading in that book, then he came to believe in God, in the existence of God, and that he is my creator, that I have to stand before him. And then his family says, you are out of your mind. But no, he was not out of his mind. No, now he was in his right mind. Oh, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and of earth. And then, oh, then he needs to know who that God is. Who is he? And what is now my relation in a personal way to that God? And so he continues to read. In that book, let us sing Psalter 241, 5 through 7 and 9. Who in the heavenly dwellings fair can with the Lord himself compare? Or who among the mighty shares the likeness in that Jehovah bears? 5 through 7 and 9 of Psalter 241. Since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. The word Trinity is not a word that appears in the Bible, but certainly the substance of that word, and that is taught in the Bible. And therefore, we agree that this word Trinity is a very useful word and that it ought to be used because it is a word that is used especially to put away heresy out of the church. Of course, there are those that do not agree with the substance of that word and that also do not agree with the use of that word, saying that it is not a word which is scriptural. The word Trinity, however, that speaks about that which is scriptural. And that word consists of two parts, that is tri and unity, meaning three in one. And therefore, our catechism speaks about three persons in one divine essence. The scriptures not only speak about and teach the existence of God, but also that there is one God. Paul says, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. That was a new idea in Corinth. Actually, the largest part of mankind from the beginning of the fall, they have believed in more than one God, that is polytheism. The gods of the Romans and the Greeks, they were many. And in our country and in our time, then there seems to be a returning to this idea that there are perhaps many gods in the New Age movement, and that also God is to be found in us, that is, the original temptation of Satan, that you shall be as gods, that is still lying in the desire of the natural man. How can we know that there is only one God, the Lord? He says it himself, I am the Lord, and there is none else, that we have read out of the prophecy of Isaiah. And so we can read about his inspired writers in both the Old Testament and the New Testament in many places declaring that there is but one God. But the light of our reason that also confirms this, because there can be but one supreme being. Otherwise, you have a contradiction. Since there is but one divine essence, why speakest thou of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. Thus, not only one God, but three persons. How finite, congregation, is our understanding. Now we come to something and that is so impossible for us to comprehend. And then we cannot find in nature anything that is fit to be an illustration of that Holy Trinity. It is not something that we can understand, but we do not believe because we understand, but we believe because of the revelation of God Himself, because it is stated in His Holy Word, and therefore our catechism, that is also bowing before the truth of that Holy Word of God. And this doctrine of the Trinity, that is now one of the most important, significant, one of the most fundamental doctrines out of that Holy Word of God. Without that faith in that Trinity, we cannot be saved. And therefore, that is a doctrine that has often been contested throughout the ages, and that Satan works so hard to undermine by Trinity. And then we mean that there are three persons in that Trinity that coexist in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thus, it is not just three names for God, as you and I may have several names. No, but here are actually three distinct persons in that Godhead. Christ, He has very plainly declared this when He has commanded His disciples to baptize in that name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And it is to each of these that divine attributes are attributed in the Word of God. That is, omniscience, that is, omnipresence, for example, but also divine works, the creation, the redemption, and the sanctification of His people. It is to each of these that we read that divine honors are to be paid, that man is to worship the Father, that he is to worship the Son, that he is to worship the Holy Spirit of the Lord, and worship and praise that is due to God alone. And yet, there are in God's Word these distinctions. The Father, He exists by Himself and of Himself. The Son, He is, we read, begotten of the Father. Of the Holy Spirit, we read that He proceeds from the Father and from the Son. All the works of those persons, they are willed by a single will, that is the will of that Godhead. And yet there is an order, we read, that is preserved among them. We never read that the Father is sent by the Son. No, but we read that the Son, He is sent by the Father, and that the Holy Spirit, He is sent by the Father and by the Son. The Lord Jesus, He says, I proceeded and came forth from God, neither came I of myself. Of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus says, whom the Father will send in my name, whom I will send unto you from my Father. Thus the declaration of the Holy Scriptures concerning the order that there is in the Godhead. The Father wills. He wills in Himself. He wills of Himself. But the Father works. How? Through the Son and through the Holy Ghost. In congregation, there can be no error concerning this Trinity. If the Father only is God, and we are honoring the Son and the Holy Spirit as God, then we are guilty.
then we are guilty of worshiping as God, who is not God. If the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are actually just three titles for God, three different names for God, if they are not distinct persons, then we are guilty. Then we are guilty of worshiping three gods. If these are distinct, and we refuse to give them their distinct honors, then we refuse to worship God as He has declared Himself to be in His Word. Then we do not know Him. Oh, what does Paul say? He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways. They are past finding out. But we cannot believe in Him except we are given that faith by the Holy Spirit Himself. And so the people will have to do with a triune God. No, do they make distinctions in that God? And when the Lord grants that new birth, no. Then they miss God. But the Lord will instruct them. And those three persons in the Trinity, they will also be experienced by the church. Oh, they will find that they have to meet God the Father as their Creator. And He will thereby make room for that holy Son of God. And this shall result also in the sanctification by His Holy Spirit. And so men, oh, that people of the Lord, they shall become acquainted with that the blessed persons of that holy Trinity. And they shall love them. Oh, they shall love them, and they shall worship them, world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us who thou art? O give us true faith, that we may believe in thee, that thou art, and that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Teach us, lead us, guide us, convert us, and forgive us all our sins also of this day and hour. And give us to keep thy day holy. Go with us in the week to come, each one, in the labors of our hands in this world. Keep from sin and evil, danger and accident. Cause us to love thee, to meditate upon thee, to seek thee and to find thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. 422, 3 and 4. The heavens praise, O Lord, thy wonders day and night, and thy saints on earth extol and thy faithfulness and might. 3 and 4 of 422.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.